As far as.
It's 9 o'clock, so.
Okay, I did, I just hit the recorder.
Call a meeting to order. Compliance with open meeting law.
Yes, it's been posted, it's posted here at the admin, sent to paper and radio on the website, all over the place.
I need a motion to approve of the agenda. Second.
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda.
I'll second.
Okay, and motion made, second, approval of agenda, all in favor, say aye. Okay, I need approval of minutes, September 17, 2025.
I'll move for approval.
I'll second it.
Motion's been made, second, approval of minutes, 2025, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Public comments slash communication.
Don't think we have anything on that today.
Oh.
Other than the upcoming events, I guess I could say that. I think I got that, do I have that moving around? Oh. Pass that around. And if you'd like a copy, I'll be happy to give you one. Do you want me to email you one?
Chief, have any reports or activities?
All right, we've got to have a public hearing for our 8521 grant before we can submit the grant. And the grants usually do in December, so I'm shooting for November 13th on that. I usually do two, I usually do one here, and then one in the northern part of the county. So I'm tentatively looking at the 13th from 11 to 3. I'll let you know for sure on that, but I think that's what we're shooting for. Elderfest, I do have a schedule. So if you're willing to help, that would be great. If you can't, that's okay. I think we'll be fine. But I do have a schedule. These little pink and green ones are typically ADRC staff that handle that. So we're mainly just looking at the registration desk and the concession stand, basically. So I will pass that around. If you can sign up, great. If you can't, don't worry about it. We'll be all right. It's coming up pretty fast. So I drug out a bunch of witch stuff last night. So I mean, decor.
You were right out of roll today. I was going to ask you to leave for this.
I just about said it earlier, but I couldn't. I had to wait.
You were on a roll.
What did I do to you today?
All right. I already passed around the upcoming events. So I don't have anything advocacy-wise. As you know, we're still in the shutdown. We do not know. So far, we haven't been impacted by that. Depending on how long it goes, we might be. But I haven't seen anything come across yet. And as far as the things that I know that could be impacted at some point, the SNAP food benefits would be a concern for our elderly population. I think they're good through October. And so it's with, those are the two things that I do know, but that's what I got on that, so. See, I did number very well here, I swear to God. We'll move on to 8 instead of 7, I guess.
Okay. 2025-27 aging plan review.
We had an aging plan review by our new consultant. Our previous SQUARE consultant retired. So we have a new one. So we got to meet her and just kind of went over our plans. We're doing pretty good. And I'll just touch on this briefly. I'm not going to go into great details, but our plans basically were, one of them was find your own driver. We've started that process. Well, we've been looking at it for a while and determining. So we're going to pilot that next year, see how that goes. We've got the nutrition program, as Courtney was here last month, talking about the prioritization process. That was one of our goals. That's actually gone very well. We've actually seen a decline in home delivered and a an increase in congregate, so I'm happy about that because that's kind of the intention of it. So again, that's moving along. The tech savvy, we had a goal to promote equity to Grand County residents without internet access. Almost half of our people that we surveyed did not have internet access, to offer some virtual prevention program. We've advertised that. I've talked to a few people, just not quite getting them in the door yet. So we have a in-office option that they could come and try it if they wanted to. If they're concerned about doing it at home, they could just try it at our office a couple times so they have somebody to help them, or they could do it at our office all the time. But so far, I've not really had any takers. I've had a couple of people maybe interested, but they haven't done it. But the virtual prevention programs out here are just not very popular. And that prevention grant is one that we get like $5,000 for, and it's kind of a problem child. So we haven't gotten very far on that, but we'll kind of keep working on that one. Revamping and revitalizing the caregiver support groups. That's been slow, but she's having a little bit more progress with that. Again, we're offering a hybrid option with virtual and in-person. She's been offering some education. And at first it didn't really come up, but now she's seeing a little bit more of an increase. So I'm hoping that that's gonna, I think we need to market that a little bit better. So we're gonna be working on that. Once that's still in the regional office hands, it's kind of out of ours, but we'll work on that as we go. And the last one is, the advocacy corner. So I have been trying to put an advocacy corner in the ADRC newsletter just to highlight any issues or concerns that affect older residents, helping them to interact. We always do advocacy here. And then if there are things that affect our meals, our nutrition program participants, then we'll try to send stuff out to them as well. So when things get kind of threatened on their end, we let them know as well. So that's been going well. And it's just a good way to keep people in the know without trying to constantly hold, you know, meetings and things like that. So that was going pretty good, other than the little tech savvy one that I thought would be great. We'll see. Maybe someday it will be. So keep working on that. So she approved it. I think Gary, you might have gotten an email on that from her.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Number 9, EDRC application update.
So I've still not heard from the state on our application. They keep telling me every week that they just have a couple questions on it and then they're good. And I have yet to hear those couple questions. So I don't know what they are. I know the budget's been approved. We sent in the dementia care specialist MOU. They said that looked good. So I have another meeting set up with Rhonda in November. It's getting to the end of the year. We kind of need to know some things. So I'm hoping that they get back to me with their questions quickly. But so far, they have not. So that's what I know. Rhonda has told me that none of the questions on the application or anything that is going to impede us from receiving the award, but it would still be nice to know. The exec committee did approve the DCS position on the salary schedule so we can move ahead. The consultant had reviewed it. It came in right where I thought it, or right where I hoped it would, and what I budgeted for. So that was good news. So we can move ahead with that hiring process so we can have somebody in place on first of the year. What's that?
Still has to be awarded.
I thought it was because, I thought we read that because it was in the 26th budget.
If it's built into the budget, it shouldn't have
to go.
New position?
If it's built into the budget, it shouldn't have to go.
Yeah.
That's the way I, that's the way I.
I kind of run that way too, but I kind of go back and forth.
Well, you and I had that conversation and we.
Kind of go back and forth.
Yeah. So. I mean, in some ways they've approved it twice because they approved the standalone, which included it. So I mean, it has literally kind of been approved by the board, but. So, I mean, I can take it. I don't.
Nope.
You just let me know if you want it on that day. Yeah. Transportation program, we talked about, you know, the MCOs with nutrition program. Last month. And I told you I'd bring, try to bring you a little bit more information on the rides. So I did. I know this is kind of like, it's kind of a lot. But. Overall, I think our rides are at, they actually. It's been a while since I've done this. Or I think I did it a while back and I must not have looked at it too clearly. So you have kind of the cost, the bus. So I think the passenger fees are good. Our family care fees right now are still $3 round trip. So whether we want to charge family care an additional amount or not, I included who I managed to kind of compare services to. Richland County at $5 a round trip. They go a little further than we do in Vernon County as well. I think they make some trips into. Some of them do have a public versus senior fare. We don't get too many public on the bus. Most of our bus riders are just senior and disabled. So I guess the point would be, and we have maybe just a couple of family care riders that use that. In some ways, if they use the bus over a trips, it's less work on our end because it's, we don't have to do as much, but there is no schedule fee for the MCOs on that. With the trips, that's kind of all over the board with people. Our passenger fees are 35 cents a mile. Our drivers are paid 70 cents a mile. Family care fees are 70 cents a mile plus a $6 scheduling fee per one-way trip. So $12 for a round trip. When I looked at Richland, when I talk with Richland County, they have a 70 and a 1050 fee. That's a per round trip as well. With Inclusa, my choice pays them a straight 4.58 a mile. So we do not currently have a contract with my choice. We do with Inclusa, which is what that family care fee is. So we have not charged, we have not done any increase in scheduling fees in quite some time. Most of the people that I talk to kind of use those MCOs as a way to fund more of their transportation program. So there's two schools of thought there, and it's one of them that Nate and I kind of talked to, because it's not mandated that obviously we provide services to major insurance companies. Because that's what those two MCOs are now, is major insurance companies. One's Molina and one's Humana. So we aren't mandated to do that. We are obviously mandated with our 8521 to provide services to seniors and disabled. So whether we want to continue providing those to insurance companies, I guess, is something we need to look at. It is more of a moneymaker than obviously the meals, because we can charge the scheduling fees. We, with the meals, it's really not a moneymaker in my opinion, and it's more stress on our volunteers. But we only contracted with Inclusa for this coming year. And depending on how that goes, we haven't told them our fee yet, so we'll see how that goes. But like Richland County uses it as a moneymaker. I think I checked with Crawford. Crawford only has paid drivers. Iowa County, a lot of them have just various fee schedules, so I'll just kind of go through those and then we can talk about maybe where we want to see this going. So the wheelchair van, it's probably our least used, probably because it's more expensive to the public. It's 70 cents a mile and it's $16.59 an hour. For family care, it's also that plus the scheduling fee. So there again, I do think that could potentially be increased to increase revenue if we wanted it. I wouldn't increase it for passenger fees because I think it's already impeding some of our passengers from riding sometimes. We do have one regular participant that uses that. And then you can see what Richland's kind of looks like. Crawford only has paid drivers, so with their own vans, so they're a little bit different. And then the taxi, taxis funded, you know, from a variety of funding. So actually, it came in okay too. In terms of what it looked like, I thought whether we would want to increase that. We did increase the family care fee to $4. I think last year, year before, we've got passenger fees at $2 per start and finish and 50 cents in between. It's very well used in Lancaster. It's a little bit less in Boscobel and Fenimore. And again, I think it's just those fees. But another area where it could be potentially added if we were going to use family care. Family care does use the taxi. Probably a fair amount. I think I have. Yeah, I've got 1,459 of the rides were family care rides. So they use it a fair amount. And I think the taxi, I didn't put Platteville's on there, but I think Platteville's is like $5. So the other thing we have not done is a public versus a senior disabled fare. So that could be, you could have your family care fee and your public fare the same. But that taxi's not as well used in Boscobel, Fenimore, so I kind of hesitate to do that. I think the public that still does use it is probably more low income. So I don't know. We might just shoot ourselves in the foot by charging them more than they will be able to afford to use it, and we won't get the rides anyway. So so the question is we've gotten we have a current contract with Inclusive for this right now, with those fees in place. So we would need to decide whether we wanted to stay, offer that with Inclusive, either increase the fees or keep the fees the same. I did get a request from My Choice about possibly contracting with them. We haven't in the past, mostly because it's been several years since they came to us with the contract and they didn't like my numbers. And so they said, we're going to negotiate. And I said, no, we're not. This is our cost. This is what we're going to charge you. And they said no. And then they have over the years then still used us for meals and used us for rides as an out-of-network provider.
Can you describe the availability of these services?
The availability?
So you said taxi, Boscobel, Lancaster,
yes.
Fenimore.
So taxi is 2 days a week in Lancaster. So it's Tuesday, Thursday in Lancaster. All day, essentially.
Okay.
8 to 4:30, whatever it is. And then on Wednesdays, it's a half a day in Fenimore and a half a day in Boscobel. And on Fridays, it's a half a day in Fenimore and Boscobel. So they, one's morning, one's afternoon, and then they flip. So those are the two areas we don't run on Mondays at all at this time. The bus runs 3 days a week. We do schedule some special trips in there sometimes. Right now, he was doing some extra orchard trips, so he probably ran a little bit more. And then he'll run, typically the bus runs, he does various routes. So he'll pick up, he might do like a Bloomington over that area, Patch Grove, Mount Hope, go to Prairie route. Fenimore, Montford, Dodgeville, Boscobel, Muscatine, Richland Center. Usually does kind of a southern one to Platteville too, because they do like to get to Platteville once in a while because there's more there. We do a couple Platteville routes. And then, like I said, the special trips. We do an orchard trip that's very popular. And then we do lights in Richland Center, also very popular to see the Rotary lights down there. And then sometimes she does another special trip in between there. Sometimes it's greenhouses or sometimes it's something else, but that's where that goes. And then the wheelchair van is just on demand. So people use it as they need it. And the reason you'll see, part of the reason I budget in the budget as if it's going to be used is because of our match and all of that. So if we don't use it, we do then have the ability to put that back into the trust fund. So, but if we don't show that we're going to use it, we wouldn't get it. So that ebbs and flows based on what we need. So we are not as high this past year because we have one participant that uses it a lot, but they haven't been able to use it as much as they normally would. And then other people use it for like weddings and funerals and getting a family member that's in a wheelchair somewhere. And then the TRIPS program is obviously our volunteer driver program, and that's on demand too. So she just schedules people call in. They've got a doctor's appointment in Madison or Dubuque or even local, and don't have a way to get there. And then she works with them to contract with our volunteer drivers. So if we can't provide a ride, we usually refer to Lyft, which is Southwest CAT, because they provide some similar services to ours. Theirs are a little more costly because they pay a lot of their drivers. And they in turn refer back to us if they've got a ride that they can't meet and it's in a participant back here. So they refer back to us. So it works pretty well. So when we talk about the MCO contracts, we are not the only one. The MCOs contract with Lyft. They contract with some of the other counties as well. So if we were not to contract with them, they still would have Lyft as a possible service for some of their contracts as well. And I'm not trying to say either one, because it does produce some revenue for us, which is good. Revenue has not been our biggest problem in the transportation program for the last few years. We kind of accumulated a lot during the pandemic when we weren't running. So I'm trying to spend that down in the trust fund before they get anxious about it. I think I have it down enough that they're not so anxious about it now, but it's an issue. So in terms of fares, I actually had kind of thought that maybe we would increase fares. I don't know that we really need to when I started looking at, you know, what we get. Like the taxi is almost fully covered by the time we add in our 8521, our 5311, our 8520, and then the cities chip in. Boscobel, Fenimore, and Lancaster all chip in 6,700, not a piece, but together. So they do actually support it as well. So I don't know that we need to raise those fares any. In fact, I think it would be a bit prohibitive if we did for them. However, family care fares could be increased. The scheduling fee could be increased. Obviously, $12 does not pay one of my staff to probably touch that. I had Mariah look at it a little bit, but by the time you think she has to get the author, there always has to be an authorization. And this is probably one of the bigger problems that we have with these is sometimes they want to contract with the ride. First of all, she has to determine if they're on family care, and then we have to talk to a care manager because they're the ones that make the authorization. So they have to make sure the authorization's there. It's not always there. Sometimes then she has to go back. So she's got to touch it that way. Then she's got to arrange a driver, get it scheduled. Then it's got to be billed based on that authorization. Then the piece has to come back, obviously, again, for deposit when we get that and verify it against our, it's got to be entered into our database. So there's a fair number of steps that have to take in order for it to be touched. So $12, I don't think, covers that number of steps. And so it, in my opinion, it is a little bit subsidized by the county in terms of, for those insurance companies. Let's just say that. So what are your feelings? Do you, are you looking, do you think we should offer a contract to both? Stay with just the one, since My Choice does find a way to do it, not do it at all? I'm not sure that you guys have to actually approve it or not approve it, but I guess I'd like your thoughts on.
What's your recommendation?
Well, we're gonna provide all of these services to people with the grant funding that we get, period. So we're not in danger of reducing to the public. So there's two schools of thoughts on that, because the family care people do have a support system, you know, there for them to coordinate all of that for them. And the insurance company does have an agency to do that. However, that being said, there is revenue that does come to us. I do believe right now, the way the rules are written, DOT keeps waffling on me a little bit on this, but I think we're going to be able to use that revenue from an MCO contract and maybe lower the match to the county. So right now, our match to the county is $25,780, something like that. So we could offset that match with the revenue. We've never been able to do that before, but they just came out with something this year on that. I questioned a couple of things. They had to go back and ask, and they haven't gotten back to me. But I think at least some of it could offset that. So that's always a good thing. If you didn't have to have that, you know, the $6,700 that we get does, you know, is able to offset that local match as well, or the Grant County match, not, it is local match, obviously. So we could do that. I would probably stay with Inclusive, because Inclusive is a known factor. We know what it is. My Choice is probably the bigger money maker, but I don't know what comes in that. The problem that I'm concerned about coming into 26 is time. We are a tight little ship with very little room to take on additional duties, because we have everybody doing everything. And taking on another contract, these contracts just, they require, you know, they want to see training, they require paperwork, there's training, there's more, two MCOs would be extra scheduling for her, more trying to figure out deposits and payments, because half of these payments come in as ACHs and nobody knows what they are, because the state, they come into us, kind of our treasurer's office, unknown sometimes, and then they're just putting it out there, whose payment do you think this is? So you're constantly having to do some of that. So the idea of picking up another one is not ideal to me. I think we could stay with Inclusa and monitor it this year, because quite frankly, I'm going to monitor if they pick up the meals. I'm going to monitor that real close. I think we're going to have a lot more administrative stuff that's going to happen in 26 with the standalone ADRC that we may or may not be prepared for. And I was hoping, and I think we might be able to share some duties with somebody else at some point down the line, if that's an avenue that we can do. Nate and I have talked about that, but until I see 1 year's worth of revenue from that, I can't do that, because I just don't know what, you know, I have my gut feeling what I think will happen, but I've been known to be wrong in the past. So, So I would say we stay with Inclusa, and we possibly up the scheduling fees at least by a dollar or two for trips. Trips is by far where all the family care comes into play, probably trips and taxi. And doing a scheduling fee with the taxes would just be a nightmare, because she'd kill me for that. Because that would be more paperwork for our driver, and he's, yeah. So, but I do think upping the scheduling fee for the for trips would, like, from either six to seven a ride, or even eight a ride. It would generate probably enough revenue that we could take off more of that county match. And then if you want to look at my choice again, well, it's up to you. My choice could be a moneymaker. I just don't know how many rides we do for them out here. And I kind of feel like they pay whatever we tell them our rate is now. So I would.
Can we track that for the year just to see?
Yeah, we can. Yeah, we haven't done that many rides with My Choice now. I think it's a handful. I think they primarily probably use Liv. But we can look at that, yeah. Yeah. We would have the deposits and everything else. So are you good with that? Are you thinking that would be my suggestion? And then next year, once we get a year under of the standalone with ADRC, even probably 6 months in, I'm going to have a much better idea. And then if you want to go all out and really make money in transportation and provide it to everyone, but I, you know, we're not trying to grow real big. We're trying to.
You don't want to buy off more than you
need. Exactly, because drivers are hard to come by, and I don't want to get into a situation where, you know, we're stuck not being able to provide services. Volunteer drivers are going to be more difficult to come by because insurance rates are skyrocketing, and they're skyrocketing with volunteer drivers when they say they're driving, because they have a tendency to look at our volunteer drivers like an Uber, which they're not, but there is that tendency by the insurance company to look at that.
Would you be better off then just to go with $7 a ride to start with, and then
Yeah, and then we can look at the revenue and see what comes in.
Versus
Yeah. I mean, we have not, I don't think we've increased that scheduling fee for at least 5 years. I'd have to go way back, but I don't think we have. So I think the $7 is, I mean, it's still only $14 an hour. That's not what my admin assistant makes. You know what I'm saying? She makes a lot more than $14 an hour. So I would, if you want to change the scheduling fee though, we should take action on that.
Need a motion?
Yeah.
To approve that?
Yeah. And that's just staying with Inclusa?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I'll make a motion to increase the scheduling fee for trips to $7 and stay with Inclusa.
Second.
Motion made and second to approve that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, now on the NFC SP deobligation funds.
All right. I did request to deobligate some funds. As you recall, we had a lot more in the budget for this past year because we had an additional, our ARPA money that they gave us, the additional ARPA money we got for family caregiver was much more than I anticipated. We ended up with almost 18,000. So we did spend that out this year, but that left a great big portion of our grant for this year not spent out, because we don't really have that many people. We do not have a waiting list. We've served everybody that's contacted us. We're getting down to the fall, and it's real hard to start spending out $3,000 per caregiver come the fall. I did ask to deobligate it because, again, that is a big match for the county. So even if we'd spend it, I was a little concerned about that this year, given that they just give us the ARPA money without really asking if we want to pay that additional match. So, because the match is 25%. So anyway, I did deobligate the 10,000. We are still good. We still have a little bit of funds left in case we need them. Courtney and I looked at it several times, And I think it made more sense to deobligate because then we don't have to pick up that match. We've still got the opportunity and somebody else who can use it can use it. Typically, then I'm going to turn around and I usually ask for up to $20,000 for home delivered to reobligate. And last year we got, I think we got a little over $10,000. We were able to get that back from somebody who didn't use theirs. So it's kind of a win-win for people. Just to let you know that I did do that. I don't think it requires approval, but if you want it, it kind of came fast. We had to make a decision, so I went ahead and did it. Because otherwise, the money just sits there and goes to waste, and I don't like to see that happening. So, any questions on that? Any questions on vouchers? I think we've had anything too unusual pop up.
Question. So yeah. There's a couple of line items. 100 operating supplies. I don't know, not the vouchers. Sorry, I'm going to do the day budget.
Oh, yeah.
I'll make a motion to approve the
vouchers.
I
have a second.
I'll
second. Motion made and second for approval of the vouchers. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposing. Financial report.
That was an
yeah.
Page 4. Congress operating supplies over budget.
Yes. And that one, I think I explained it a couple meetings ago. That's the we got $8,000 from Grant County Thrift Shop. They wanted it specifically used for meal sites. So she was purchasing, we were replacing some of the equipment at those places, the heat safe bays and all of that. So that's why you do see that, because I don't think she put it in as a, sometimes when she gets those donations, she puts it in as a credit, but I don't think it's one of the credit on that. So that's why you see that. They wanted to ensure that it was spent at every meal site in the county.
And so, the other one is on page 6.
Yeah.
Home delivered operating.
Yep, same thing. Yep, that's the same thing. So we should see that. It should be, I don't know if she's gotten through. I think she might still have a little bit of that left. I'll give you an update on that next month. I'll make a note of that on that donation. Because I just inquired, I think we have a little bit left because the freezer this week went down in Boscobel. So we've had the electrician there 3 times because it hasn't worked yet. So I'm hoping it's working today because it's very old. And I was concerned that now that we've gotten that donation halfway through that we might need a new freezer down there because it's a great big double door freezer. And of course, it's not owned by the city, it's owned by us. That's great. So yes, that will be it, but I can have Courtney give you an update on that. So any other questions? I think we're sitting pretty good. We have some, speaking of the operating supplies, since we switched to, Courtney's not doing the accounts payables and Mariah is. So we've had a little bit of struggle. We've identified some things in the wrong categories that we're going to fix. I think when I did the budget, I kind of identified those with you a little bit. So we will go through that. I'd like to consolidate some of those because quite frankly, I have to sit here and think, I don't know if that's an operating supply or if it's a paper. I mean, paper supplies and food supplies usually knows, but we have a couple that I have to sit there and think, I don't know which category that is. So I would like to consolidate those into a couple. And I have talked to finance about going through ours. We've just got a lot of line items that are kind of out of date and they don't really fit. And then when Tyler Muniz came in, they fit even worse because they had different categories. And it for a new person, it really can be difficult. And my old eyes don't always catch it. So, but we went through them at the budget time. So we made sure that we would understand where those line items need to be. So hopefully we can get those consolidated. But like I said, Congregate is up a little bit. Home Delivered will be down a little bit. So that's good news for us. Public Awareness doesn't have much spent in it, but I literally just got the year's worth from Simons. Finally, I've been asking for that. So we'll have that in there shortly. And then we have Greene County also doing a Mind Over Matter workshop for us next month. So that will be in there, and we'll spend as much of that as we can. Benefit specialist is good. It probably looks a little bit low because she was actually off on leave. So bus looks fine. Again, some of those transportation programs, they don't always go. We don't run if the weather's bad. So specialized transportation is the wheelchair van. So again, we're way under that just because our regular rider wasn't riding. Features, again, should be fine. And so the family care revenue, again, you'll see that be a little less than we budgeted just because we got more of those ARPA dollars. We had to spend those ARPA dollars out by September 30th. But it's kind of slow moving on that because of that 25% match on everything. It kind of holds it up. The good news is they had taken away. Whole reason I wanted to get the AFCSP program was because we could use it towards that 25% match. And then we had it like a year and they took it away because it had income limits attached to it. But the state just recently through legislation got rid of those income guidelines or income eligibility. So we are able to use that again as match. So that will help with AFC or with NFCSP too. So it'll lower our county match on that. Coming next year, which will be great. And ADRC. We're sitting pretty well right there, too. Questions on the finances? Concerns, questions?
Motion to accept the financial report.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Motion made and second to approve of the financial report. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say aye. Report. BDS record report.
Oh. And fun. Director's report. Obviously, we've been dealing with budgets and MOUs. We worked real hard to get that MOU done with Iowa County before Tom retired at the end of September. We've got a number of things coming up. We do have Caregiver Renewal Day coming up on November 5th. We usually collaborate with Iowa and Lafayette County on that. That's kind of a little bit day of respite and a little bit of education for caregivers on as part of our NFCSP grant. Obviously, Elderfest is coming up. We are full gear for that. We are completely full. We actually have a waiting list this year. We have 40 tables or 40 vendors. Vaccine clinic is still happening. Sheriff's going to do a drug take back for us. And so we are working on that. We're working on, now we're working at decor and schedules and all of that. So it's been going well. End of year for aging programs is September. So October is always just a crazy time because it's the end of a quarter. It's the end of the year. It's Elderfest. It's budget time. We're just, it's everything. It's everything and everything thrown at us at once. So it's Medicare open enrollment. That actually starts today. So our phone is probably ringing off the hook more than it normally is. She's already been taking some. So we do as much of that over the phone as we can because it's much more efficient for us to run those. So, but last year she did not have a waiting list at all on that. She was able to get everybody in. There's a little bit of concern, I think, in the northern part of the county right now. I've been getting some emails from some people up there about courts and about, I think, some of the pharmacies. So we are actually a little, she did say the other day that we're trending a little bit higher already for phone calls than we were last year. So, and I think that's probably part of it. So hopefully we can get them all in.
How long is that?
Till December 7th. So always a busy time. What else? Like I said, I was hoping to have more news on the state grant, but no. We did get the MOU in place though with Simon, so that's good because that's been an issue I've had for a year or two. So we've got that in place. I'm happy about that. We have transportation grants to write, or I do, I guess. They're due in December as well. So again, October, November is just busy times. I did not receive word on the 5310 grant. However, I did receive word that another county got it. So I'm pretty sure we didn't, but I wasn't expecting it anyway, because of our trust fund. So, but I haven't gotten official for Orchard Manor. I would be shocked if we got it just because of the trust fund, because that is one of the things they look at is whether, you know, you can take it out of there. So, and we did try to, I did try to look at them with that to see if we could somehow collaborate on a vehicle. But they wanted a little bit more than would work for us. So, but maybe we'll come back to that discussion once we know for sure. So, but I haven't heard anything yet. We did just get our 5311 funding, so it's October and we finally just got that grant. So Nate just signed off on that a little bit last week. So things don't run on the same timeline sometimes that I think they should. So it might be a while before we're officially notified, but I did know that another county did officially get it, so I'm assuming if you officially got it, you probably already got the email, and if you didn't, they just haven't told us that yet, so, which is too bad, but I warned Alicia of that, so I thought that might be the case, so. All right, and then on program reports, they are in your packet here somewhere. Don't think you have a nutrition one this month. Courtney had a delay with a couple of reports, and so she didn't send that one. They have fixed the database maybe a little bit for elder benefit specialists and disability benefit specialists. So rather than go back for disability and figure those in, I just put a year to date in at where we're at, what we can get so far. But they did get the countable monetary impact fixed, because that is really what they look at a lot. for EBS. I did say I was on a state meeting the other day, and they said they had us guess how much ADRC has saved the state. And they estimated that they have a formula that they use to estimate the amount of cost savings. And they estimated it at $190 million. So that's good. It's a savings where people are not hospitalized, rehospitalized. Also savings where somebody's not in a nursing home but receiving services at home. So those are the big cost savings. So, yeah. So, and for information and assistance, because they changed some of that, I just did a year to date. So that's why that's in there that way. I will get into the habit of probably a month, but it was a lot easier for me the other day because I didn't have anybody to do that. And not everybody's familiar with PeerPlace. They're just still refining it. So it's a new challenge and a new webinar every month. So on that, and then your transportation. So but it's busy as usual.
I have a question, Laura.
Yeah.
Can you explain the not down in the weeds, but the MRO with the Simmons Recreational?
Yeah. So Simmons, they are in Richland County, and they provide the health promotion activities that we have to provide have to be evidence-based. That's required by the aging contract that we get for those. So they have to be evidence-based, which means people have to take training, and it's much more involved, and we just don't have the staff time to do that anymore. Also, in the past, when I first came on board, we had an INA that did a lot of our health promotion activities. Because we weren't very busy. As we got busier, the more time we dedicated to those, the more money we lost with Medicaid match. So we stopped. And this is a 5,000 grant versus 400,000 in Medicaid match over here. So we started not doing that and looking for other people to do those activities. You used to do them. You used to do, Mary Lou actually contracted, and you did Stepping On, right?
Yeah.
So that got to be our problem. So the busier we got, we needed all that INA time because we were pulling in, you know, when I first came here, we were probably pulling Medicaid match in the 30s. And then we average anywhere from 42 to 50 now. So we pulled back on that. So we started looking for other providers to do that. And Simons was one of them that actually provides evidence-based. So they provide a Tai Chi class that's evidence-based. They provide a SAIL program. It's called SAIL. I don't know what the acronym is, but it's an exercise-based, evidence-based program. And sometimes they provide a strong bodies one. And they started providing some in Muscadet. Well, they started providing some in Muscadet, and then they sent me this stuff and said, here, you can pay for this. And I'm like, well, that's not quite the way it works. We have to have a contract in place. So, so they provide it for Richland County. They provide it for us now. And I'm not sure if Iowa County is in, but I've seen some. So we actually share it. So they just bill us. They do the suggested donation. And then they bill us whatever their costs are minus the suggested donation for the class, and then they do all the paperwork with the participants. So it's pretty much win-win for us. The classes that we've had so far there have been running us about $215. So it's not even going to eat up my entire grant, but it's better than nothing. We also use Greene County because Greene County still has a dedicated prevention program. I don't know how they fund it all, but they kind of farm her out too. So she does prevention she does it for Iowa, and she's doing one for us. And then she'll charge us in that same manner. And it just saves us the staff time, and it saves us not losing that Medicaid match. So that's what we do. So that MOU was just me being a little... like, you guys, we have to have this little more formula, you know, because they were There was just a few caveats. They weren't advertising it kind of in the way that they should. So I got together with Richland County and we met with them and said, here's what our flyers need to actually look like. And it's a suggested donation and that sort of thing. So we just got that in place. They've been very good to work with. And I wanted it in place just so we could spend out some of that grant. So it's a good thing. But I feel better now that we have it in place because it was just been kind of hanging out there and I didn't really care for that. And I knew they were providing services to Grant County citizens, so they might as well get paid for it for helping us out.
I know couples that go swimming there.
Yeah, it's a nice complex. It's a very nice complex.
Yes.
So any other questions?
Just maybe real quick.
Yeah.
Is Plaquemine the only community in Grant County that has a senior center?
No, Boscobel does.
Boscobel does.
Mm-hmm. It's Repton Center.
Yep.
Temple Center.
And the Boscobel senior director for the senior center is half-time senior center for the city and half-time for us. So they did that a long time ago. So.
Can you give me the contact information?
Sure can.
Meals are turning.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, she's got a great program. She's got a lot. They got a lot of people that come in there.
Okay.
She's always got something going on.
How is it free? How is it funded?
I was going to say you were on the board, aren't you, Gary?
No, we got it. Yeah. We give them so much a year.
Okay.
On the city.
Yeah,
we're not going to turn our seniors out.
That membership fee?
No.
No.
Nope.
Thank you.
No way.
That's what's being proposed in Plot.
Ah, okay.
I told him last night, I said that's probably going to go over like 11.
We do create a little revenue. We'll rent that out.
Somebody, yes.
Somebody wants it. That goes right to the budget, then it helps.
Well, and we provide some revenue because we pay rent for the space. But that's kind of a win-win too, because they have a, you know, on the days that they have music or the days that they have big cards parties, there are bigger days that we have big lunches for people that socialize too. So you can definitely tell the days that the musicians in town, because we have a bigger base at the meals. But we have a good, they have a good congregate meal site going there, and they have a very good. They got something going there for the seniors in the afternoon a lot. So, and at night, she does all various things. So.
Some little exercise.
Lots of card playing.
Yeah.
Lots of card playing. All right. I'm sending you upcoming events and basketball content.
Thank you.
Anything else? Gary, you've got a board for that senior center too, right? Do you still sit on that agency?
Yeah, I'm on that board.
Yeah, because that's the, I think you were the chair in that. That's the reason we got you on this one, because it was a good.
Right.
Okay.
Well, if there's no other things, I'll make a motion. Or need a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.